जय गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी यशोदनन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुञ्ज बिहारी हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Thank you. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai, Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai, Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada.
युगधर्म हरिनाम संकीर्तन की ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जगद्गुरु श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेष्व भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 27, titled Attack by Chandavegh on the city of King Puranjana. Text 10. Teshu tadrikta hareshu graha koshanu jivishu nirodhena mamatvena vishayeshva anava अन्वबध्यत तेषु तद्रिक्तहारेषु ग्रहकोशानुजीविषु निरुद्धेन ममत्वेन विषयेष्व अन्वबध्यत तेषु तद्रिक्तहारेषु ग्रहकोशानुजीविषु निरोधेन ममत्वेन विषयेष्व अन्वबध्यत।
गृहकोशानुजीविषु
Word to word meaning, teshu, to them, tat riktahareshu, the plunderers of his money, graha, home, kosha, treasury, anujivishu, to the followers, nirudhena, deep rooted, mamatvena, by attachment, vishayeshu, to sense objects, anvabadhyata, became bound. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation, these sons and grandsons were virtually plunderers of King Puranjan's riches, including his home, treasury, servants, secretaries and all the paraphernalia. Puranjan's attachment for these things were very deep-rooted. Purport. In this verse, the word rikta hareshu, meaning plunderers of wealth, is very significant. One's sons, grandsons and other descendants are ultimately plunderers of one's accumulated wealth. There are many celebrated businessmen and industrialists who produce great wealth and are highly praised by public, but all their money is ultimately plundered by their sons and grandsons. In India, we have actually seen one industrialist who, like King Puranjan, was very much sexually inclined and had a half dozen wives. Each of these wives had a separate establishment that necessitated the expenditure of several thousands of rupees. When I was engaged in talking with him, I saw that he was very busy trying to secure money so that all his sons and daughters would get at least 500,000 rupees each. Thus, each industrialist, businessman or karmis are called mudhas in the Shastra. They work very hard, accumulate money and are satisfied to see that this money is plundered by their sons and grandsons. Such people do not want to return their wealth to its actual owner. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 5:29, Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. The real proprietor of all wealth is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the actual enjoyer. So-called earners of money are those who simply know tricks by which they can take away God's money under the guise of business and industry. After accumulating this money, they enjoy seeing it plundered by their sons and grandsons. This is the materialistic way of life. In materialistic life, one is encaged within the body and deluded by false egoism. Thus one thinks, I am this body, I am a human being, I am an American, I am an Indian. This bodily conception is due to false ego. Being deluded by false ego, one identifies himself with a certain family, nation or community. In this way, one's attachment for the material world grows deeper and deeper. Thus, it becomes very difficult for the living entity to extricate himself from this entanglement. Such people are graphically described in 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, from 16th chapter, 13th to 15th shloka, in this way. Idam adya maya labdham imam prapsye manoratham idam astidam apime bhavishyeti punardhanam असौ मया हतः शत्रु हनिष्ये चापरानपि ईश्वरोऽहम् अहम् भोगी सिद्धोऽहम् बलवान् सुखी आढ्यो भी जनवान् अस्मि कोऽन्योऽस्ति सदृशो मय यक्षे दास्यामि मोदिष्य इत्यञ्जान विमोहिताः. The demonic person thinks, so much wealth do I have today, and I will gain more according to my schemes. So much is mine now, and it will increase in the future, more and more. He is my enemy, and I have killed him, and my other enemy will also be killed. I am the lord of everything, I am the enjoyer, I am perfect, powerful and happy. I am the richest man, surrounded by aristocratic relatives. There is none so powerful and happy as I am. I shall perform sacrifices, I shall give some charity, and thus I shall rejoice. In this way, such persons are deluded by ignorance. In this way, people engage in various laborious activities, and their attachment for body, home, family, nation, and community becomes more and more deep-rooted. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuronmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकं वंदेहं श्रीगुरो श्रीजता पदकमलं श्रीगुरोन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजना सहितं कृष्ण चैतन्यदेवं श्री राधा कृष्ण पादान सहगणा ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितंश्च नमा ओम विष्णुपादाय कृष्ण पृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामिने गौरत्विषे नमः. हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानो सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये. वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवास आदि गौर भक्त वृंद. हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे. मूकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरिं यत्कृपातं वंदे श्रीगुरु दीनतारिणं परमानंदमाधवं श्रीचैतन्य ईश्वरं. So we're discussing Puranjan's family life, where very successfully he has begotten many hundreds of kids, to be more specific 1100 sons and 110 daughters. A very big family. And then all of them have got married, and they have begotten many sons and daughters, and the entire place has been filled with so much of crowd. And it is said overcrowded. Previous shloka yesterday that we saw. In this way, the whole city of Panchala became overcrowded by these sons and grandsons of King Puranjan. And here, this allegory is going to another level, where it is described, Narada Muni is saying that these sons and grandsons were virtually plunderers of King Puranjan's riches. Similar thing we see when Jad Bharat is preaching to Maharaj Rahugana in the chapter where it is titled as The Forest of Material Existence. There also the same thing comes. So multiple times when it is repeated in Srimad Bhagavat, obviously even once it is said, you know, that is the truth, but multiple times repeated, you know, it's a very, very important point, you know, which Bhagavatam is making, and it's the truth of life. So no one can say that no, maybe it works for someone, maybe, you know, it will not work for me. I remember in one of the Q&A sessions, someone had asked a question, and somewhere the answer was going towards how that each and every person in this world exploits each other. And no one is exempted from this. No exception is there. Everyone just exploits each other, either on the gross platform or on the subtle platform. So somewhat the answer was in this direction. And I saw after a long time, I saw one comment in the YouTube video that not everyone is like this. Not everyone exploits. And then I understood that, yes, people think that we are exception, but Bhagavatam does not talk about exception. Bhagavatam says everyone. Everyone is going through this, and everyone has to go through this because we all are in the same boat, the boat of material existence. So there is no question of anyone getting exempted, you know, from such things. And here it is talked about how sons and grandsons were virtually plunderers of King Puranjan's riches. Including his home and treasury, servants, secretaries, and all the paraphernalia. So it's a known fact that when someone earns very nicely and keeps it ready for his own enjoyment, it so happens that he is not able to enjoy, but then the coming generation, they are the ones who capture all the wealth and they start enjoying. And here we see Prabhupada very nicely saying that there are many celebrated businessmen and industrialists who produce great wealth and are highly praised by public, but all their money is ultimately plundered by their sons and grandsons. I remember our Achyut Prabhu was sharing in one of the Sunday feast class that when some thief comes and plunders our wealth, you know, we start running behind that person and we want to put him behind bars and things like that. But you know, in the house when wife comes and the sons and grandsons they come, we are very, very happy, you know, when they come and plunder our wealth. We saw here in IBC only, some small boy was telling, Papa, paise de, and he was like, you know, holding him down and putting his hand in the pocket. And the Papa was looking at us and he was smiling, see, Prabhu, this is what happens with us. So yes, this is what is the thing, where exploitation is there at every level. And in material world, without exploitation, things will not work, because either there should be exploitation or there should be selfless service. You know, in between that, we'll not get anything else. So in this way, we understand that in general, you know, whenever someone is completely involved and engrossed in material life, and especially here, the sex life is talked about, where begetting kids and completely involved in that, such a person will have tough time later. No, especially in the old age, where he'll be left lonely, and all the time he'll be just thinking about what did I do in my entire life. And it is also seen in this material world that till the point money is there, old people are taken care nicely. And once the money is taken away, once they write it, in the name, write it, or they are forced to write in someone's name, then there's no respect. It's only about this. I don't know when this old person will die. This is what people think. And also at times, I've heard when this one of the incident happened, similar incident in my relatives, far distant relatives. So they were behaving as if they're so compassionate on the old person. And they were like, how much this person is suffering. I really pray that Lord helps him and takes him as fast as possible. I was telling them that you are not able to serve him and don't want to serve. That is the reason he's saying this. And they were like, maybe that is also true. Maybe that is also true. So in this way we understand that people spend so much of time, the entire life is spent in doing this, earning money, taking care of one's own so-called loved ones and dear ones. And unfortunately, at the end, when the person is about to meet and shake hand with the death, so at that time, Now the person realizes that how much he has wasted. But then we can imagine how much people are in illusion. They keep seeing every now and then all these things are happening, but still they feel that this will not happen to me. Very, very unfortunate situation this is. Very, very unfortunate. Even for devotees like us, you know, I always think about myself, that even when we hear about, you know, someone is dying now, especially in this COVID, you know, this person died, that person died, that devotee died, this devotee died, so many senior devotees died, but still that seriousness doesn't come, you know, that this is there, some nice feeling is there in the heart, oh, okay, this will not happen to me, maybe I'll be there for some more time. And we all have a number, you know, when we ask that how long we live, maybe till the age of 50, 60, 70, we have a number to give also. You know? So this is the great illusion that unfortunately people are in. And somehow or the other, you know, this Bhagavatam class helps to recollect this point. This is not a point which is very, very difficult to understand. We have been seeing this in our day-to-day life, hearing this in day-to-day life. But still, you know, there's a reminder that is needed, because we are in a world of ignorance. And when we are there in a world of ignorance, automatically, you know, we are in ignorance. And when we are in ignorance, the truth of life, you know, will not be seen. It will always be covered with illusion. So in this way, you know, this Bhagavatam classes and other discussions with devotees really helps to revive and to understand that what exactly is happening in this material world and what is the goal of life. And here, you know, it is said that Prabhupada is giving his own personal experience. When I was engaged in talking with him, I saw that he was very busy trying to secure money so that all his sons and daughters would get at least 500,000 rupees each. Now, this point has to be understood, that what is our duty, you know, in life? Prabhupada writes in the purport to 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, 15th shloka, where he's talking about Mudha, Naradhama, etc., etc. So in Mudha, you know, he has given elaborate purports on this. Very, very nice purports Prabhupada has given. So in the Mudha purport, you know, there Prabhupada says that people are busy executing their self-created duties, Prabhupada says. You know, this self-created word caught my attention. Actually, it's self-created. Many times people say that, oh, if I just keep doing devotional service, then what about my duties? So that is your self-created duty. The actual duty of a living entity is to do devotional service. But the problem is that we have created many, many duties for ourselves, and we think that this is more important than devotional service. And what happens? Entire life the person will just keep doing this. I was talking to one of my senior godbrother, a Grihastha devotee, very, very fired up couple. And they were very clear about this. I don't know if I've shared in Bhagavatam class. They were very clear about their own thing, what they are going to do in old age. So I was telling them, you have a son, your daughter, you have to get them married, and then after that their kids will be there. Because they were planning to shift to Vrindavan. They bought a house and they wanted to shift to Vrindavan. I said, how is it possible? And after that you have to take care of your grandchildren and all these things will be there. He said, see, I have begotten these two kids, I'll get them married, my job is done. I'm leaving after that. And literally they did that. The last lockdown, they got, daughter was already married, they got their son married in Vrindavan, in the same house, and then there itself they said, Tata, you leave. Newly married couple was sent back to Mumbai and they stayed back in Vrindavan. And from then, they are there in Vrindavan. Very clear, you know. So, one should know that what is duty of a person and to what extent the person has to extend himself. But unfortunately, due to over-affection and attachment, what people do is they're carried away, completely carried away. And they think that, oh, I have to do this, I have to do that, I have to do this, I have to do that. But where is Krishna consciousness? Finally, Krishna is the one who is going to help and no one else. Only Krishna is the one who is going to deliver us from the cycle of birth and death. But then, apart from serving Krishna, unfortunately, the entire life goes in serving people around. And then, you know, we call them as loved ones. And what do the loved ones do? Plunder. And here Prabhupada, you know, makes this very nicely. He brings the purport to Krishna, where he says that such people do not want to return their wealth to its actual owner. And as usual, Prabhupada quotes, Bhoktaram yagya tapasam sarva loka maheshwara. So Krishna is a proprietor of everything and everyone. Just because we are in illusion, we think that I am the owner of this, I am the owner of that. I am the person who is taking care of this person. Many times people ask questions to brahmacharis, who will take care of your parents? Who will take care? Lord is taking care, he will continue taking care. Who are we? Who are we in between? Yes, he has been doing that from time immemorial. He has been taking care of the living entities. Why will he not continue doing that? He will. No, there is no question of he will not. But then what to do? You know, externally, it is visible that only son can take care and things like that. Once I had this discussion when I joined ashram. So that person, one of my relatives was saying, who will take care of your parents? I said, Lord will take care. What is the problem? No, but Lord has sent you to take care. I said, what if I would have married a girl and ran away with her, doing love marriage? Now, who will take care of my parents then? He was quiet. So people don't see that the ones who are abandoning their parents, putting them in old age home, they're not seeing that how when someone gets married, the daughter-in-law will kick them out. In various, those things people will not see. When someone joins ashram to do full-time devotional service, then suddenly all the fire will come. Who will take care of your parents? So here it's very clear. Now, who is taking care of everyone in this world? Who is the owner of everything in this world? It's only Krishna. Eko bahunam yo vidadhati kaman. Krishna is the one who takes care of everyone. I guess it was Sridhar Swami, if I'm not wrong. Sridhar Swami. So Sridhar Swami, his own son. So newly born kid and the mother died. And Sridhar Swami, such a great soul, detached soul, he was thinking how to take care of the newborn child. And then suddenly he saw on the wall a lizard, a newly born lizard. And then he was just observing. And as he was seeing the lizard, it took out its tongue and it caught the insect and it put it inside and started eating. Small, just newborn lizard. And then looking at that, he understood what he's supposed to do with the newborn child. He left the newborn child and went away. So, unnecessary attachment will actually take the person or pull the person down to lower consciousness. And we see this in the case of Bharat Maharaj. So, Bharat Maharaj, he saw... It's a very comic story sometimes, I feel, whenever I, hear that. The person left everything. The person left everything. He left his big kingdom, he left all his sons, beautiful wife, and all his elephants, and their elephants' kids also, and all that. He left all of that, all the luxury of life. He comes to forest, and then he goes to forest, and then he does amazing devotional service, where he actually experiences Nayanam Galadashru Dharaya, which we sing every day morning. He actually experiences that. And after going through all that, then he sees a pregnant deer jumping because of hearing the roaring sound of the lion. And then there's a delivery that happens, the child falls in the river, water, and then suddenly all the affection of this personality just comes out. And then he's like, I'm the king and I'm supposed to take care of this person who is dependent on me. And then he takes that baby deer and rest is history, where he falls down and becomes a deer. So, here we clearly understand that how illusory energy of the Lord works. Whenever I read this Bharat Maharaj pastime or try to meditate on this, I'm always fearful that when it comes to renunciants, they give up all the material things outside. They give up parents, they give up their good job and nice salary and all the property or whatever is there. They give up all that, and when they come and stay as renunciants, and if they get attached to some deer here and there, what will happen? Everything in vain. This reincarnation pastime, one of the Prabhupada disciple, he getting attached to a Mataji, a Brahmachari getting attached to a deer, and next life he becomes the deer. So actually it gives me a lot of fear and it gives goosebumps also. What is this? So it's very, very important that somehow we understand how the illusory potency of the Lord works. And all the time, the only thing that we can do is pray to the Lord that, oh Lord, please protect me. Somehow, by your mercy, you gave the strength, you gave the determination to give up all that and come here to do full-time devotion service. But please don't do this to me now. Because finally, he's the one who might have heard our desire before coming to Krishna consciousness. And then he fulfills that desire after becoming a brahmachari. So very, very important. We have to keep offering prayers to the Lord, and that's what will help. Another thing is, these attachments are a great obstacle when it comes to chanting, from last few days I'm meditating on this and it's really helping me. And all thanks to my mantra meditation 21 day challenge people who come. So while talking to them, I mean while preparing them for doing the chanting very graphically and things like that. So at that time I realized this point. So what happens, you know, when we get attached to various things, when we are chanting, all those things will come in our mind. We are attached to our office work, and office work will come. Attached to wife and kids and all that, that will come. And we as preachers, we might be attached to so many people and so many projects, that will come. So all these things will keep coming. But then, chanting time is exclusively meant for the living entity and Krishna and no one in between. So I keep telling them, close your eyes. And now it's only you and Krishna and no one else. So when I've been telling this from last 10 days, then I realized, what am I doing in chanting? Is it really me and Krishna? That one statement actually is helping me. So every morning when I start chanting, now I keep telling my mind, it's only me and Krishna and no one in between. Actually, it helps. Whenever some thought comes, so this line helps that now it's a me time with Krishna. It's not about allowing anyone to come in between. No one. And now, at this particular point of time, no one deserves my serious attention. It's only Krishna who deserves my serious attention. Yes. In fact, the entire day that should be the mood, but then at least during chanting it happens. So that's good. So this point that when we are attached to anything, you know, in this world, be it a householder, be it a renunciant, it doesn't matter which ashram that person is in. As soon as the person is attached to anything, what happens? That person's spiritual life, you know, will be affected for sure. So this point is very nice to meditate on for brahmacharis, that we have been preaching and then, you know, we have so many people, you know, who call themselves as our subordinates and so-called followers. Now, when we get attached to them and when we start thinking about them and things like that, okay, helping is different and getting attached is different. So when we get attached, now then that entire game changes, where we want to get detached, so we are here in the ashram, and when we get attached, then what is the difference between staying outside and inside? Because our meditation will not be Krishna, our meditation will be someone else, right? And it will be on the material platform, not on the spiritual platform. Because a perfected pure devotee will see, oh, this living entity, he has this swarupa in the spiritual world, what is he doing here, I want to deliver him. No, that is the mood. And here, you know, when it comes to us, he is my person, I have to take care of him. And sometimes we are good at giving class, but then, you know, at times, I'm talking about myself, at times I myself forget that Krishna is the one who is taking care of everyone. Krishna is the one who is helping them to practice intense devotional service. Krishna is the one who will give remembrance at the end of life when they're taking the last breath. I am nowhere in between. Nowhere. Maybe little bit classes here and there we give, and they forget also after that. But then Krishna is the one who is doing that. So in this way, this, as Prabhuji was mentioning yesterday, self-introspection is very important for all the devotees and especially for renunciants, that what am I getting attached to in my day-to-day life? And that attachment will be seen in our chanting. Now when we are chanting and when we think of something, that is damn sure that we are attached to that particular thing. And when we are attached to that particular thing, it's our duty, duty of a renunciant, to make sure that we get detached from it, because only two personalities in our life, they deserve our attachment and attention, and that is only Guru and Krishna and no one else. No one else. Because if we are not attached to Guru and Krishna, and if we get attached to someone else, then we should be ready, you know, to take birth again, then attend Gita course, and then someone will convince us, then again join ashram. So in this way, now we will miss the chance. So somehow or the other, you know, we have to understand that once the attachment starts, here Prabhupada writes that in this way, one's attachment for the material world grows deeper and deeper. Thus, it becomes very difficult for the living entity to extricate himself from this entanglement. So this point of attachment going deeper is all about when we keep meditating on the same point again and again and again, especially the objects of sense gratification, or, you know, people from whom, you know, we are gaining sense gratification. Always I give this example that how this attachment goes deeper, or how this impression goes deeper. You know, it's like, just imagine there's a wet cement and then we put a stone on that, it will make an impression. Yes. And again we take another stone, and again, or take the same stone again, put it on the same impression, it will go deep, and it will go deep and deep. That impression which was shallow, now it has gone deep. So what is that stone throw, what is this analogy of throwing stone again and again on the same impression? It's about meditating on the same thing again and again, and meditating on the same sense object, I mean, not Krishna. If we can meditate on Krishna and that makes a depression or impression, that is very, very nice. But then meditating on sense object and creating that strong impression or strong attachment will be a great disaster in a devotee's life. Now when we go out and see that how people are struggling, especially these people who are delivering food, and on the van they have this sticker saying essentials, only essentials are allowed now. So people are going, I mean those delivery boys, they are taking their bike and car and etc, and they are going around. So when I was seeing them, I was just thinking how difficult this job is. Just for earning the livelihood, they are doing this, just for eating three times a day. Because how much they'll be earning? These Dunzo people, like our Rahul Prabhu was telling, one of the person had COVID, and then we were supposed to give prasad to them. And then I said, book Dunzo. So Prabhu was saying, Prabhu, but he has got COVID. How can we ask the Dunzo person to go? I said, what to do? That is their job. They have to do. Then I started meditating on that yes, it's so difficult job currently these people are doing, where they never know whom they are meeting and what they are getting. They are giving something, but in turn they might be getting something which is not visible, right? The virus. And they might not be that well to do to spend so much of money to get whatever medication, necessary medication. So I was just meditating that how difficult the situation is outside and how fortunate we are there in the ashram. Obviously all the devotees, and especially when it comes to us, we are like carefree, just getting up in the morning, taking bath. Only tension that is there is I have to, on the time we have to go for Mangalarti, and I have to chant my 16 rounds. Somehow I have to complete my 16 rounds in the morning. Oh, my reading is pending, my hearing is pending. And then we have to have prasadam. We have to have prasadam. We don't think about I'm supposed to cook prasadam and then I have to get this, I have to get that. And then where the donations will come, what will happen. It's like carefree life. Carefree life. I was just meditating that how fortunate a person in the ashram is. But unfortunately, Maya Shakti is so strong that she'll make us take all the things for granted. All the things for granted. It's not easy to get the association of fired up devotees. Not easy. But somehow in the ashram, it's so easy. Everyone around is fired up. Everyone wants to attain Krishna. And when that is the mood, and when all the things Krishna is giving just like that. And also another point that I was meditating on was somehow people are coming and going, here, but still Lord is saving all of us somehow or the other. Maybe Lord is telling that you people don't sleep, now you people go and do some service. Don't rest on the bed now, getting COVID. So somehow Lord is protecting. So now the point is that do we have that gratitude, or do we realize that what the Lord is giving us? Because finally when we are grateful to what we get, then the heart becomes very fertile. And when our heart becomes fertile, Bhakti Lata Beach will grow very, very fast. So making heart fertile is a very, very important thing. And we hear from senior devotees, the only way is expressing our gratitude. When we express our gratitude from the heart, and literally we have to analyze the point that how the situation is outside and what are we doing inside sitting here, and what is the tension that we have as devotees. At times, when I think about my tensions, I literally laugh at myself. When should I wash my clothes, and did my clothes dry or not, and I have to go have prasadam, or I'm getting late for the class, and this and that. And there's so many people outside, they're struggling to get three times food in this COVID situation. And also the ones who are affected by COVID, we hear that entire family is down. No one is able to cook. And all of them are showering their blessings onto ISKCON Whitefield for supporting them with the food, the COVID prasadam. Yes. So in this way, when we are analyzing our current situation, we'll realize that how fortunate we are. And when we realize this, and when we actually feel grateful to the Lord, express our gratitude to the Lord in the form of prayers, and also understand and again execute the same, that now it's the time to do intense devotional service. because somehow Lord has given everything. The only thing that I have to do is invest my all time and energy in just doing intense devotional service and serving as many people as possible in this current situation. This gratitude, if someone can get in this current situation, that will be a great boon, because he will get closer to Krishna. So in this way, we understand that when we are attached to something, we will do a lot of things, for that person or that entity. And at the end, in the material life, what happens? At the end, in the material life, that same entity, might destroy us in various ways. And here the word plunder is used. But in spiritual life, if we get attached to Krishna, the what we get in return, we cannot ever imagine also. The only thing somehow or the other, we have to do is yena kena prakarena mana Krishna niveshayat. Somehow or the other, we have to get attached to Krishna. Somehow or the other, we don't know how. In Bhagavatam, there are various ways, which people have done. But what suits us in the current situation and what is our nature? Accordingly, when we choose some service and when we are doing it every single day and we get attached to Krishna, oh, that devotee is very fortunate. Very, very fortunate. Yes. So attachment is good, but we have to understand where to put that attachment. On the material side or on the spiritual side, and more specifically, the attachment to the lotus feet of Guru and Krishna. In the pastime of Rahugan and Jadbharat is giving an instruction, very, very important instruction. This instruction is about controlling the mind. Mind is the culprit. Mind will keep playing game with us. So there, Jadbharat is making a very important point, and he says, Guru Harer Pada Pada Sevana Astra, something like that it is, where he says that the astra, the weapon that can control the mind, is Hari and Guru's Pada Seva. Very, very wonderful line. Hari and Guru's Pada Seva. Serving the lotus feet of Guru and Hari, that is the astra, that is the weapon to control the mind. This is what Jadbharat is saying. So yes, this attachment is something which is very much needed, and we all are trying to pray to the Lord to get this attachment, and by Lord's mercy someday we might get that. So I'd like to pause here. Any comments, reflections?
This point that everybody, many people are dying, so many death news has come, but it doesn't get to the heart. The heart doesn't feel the seriousness, so that this will come to us also. That's very true, and at least something like Krishna is, just to make us serious, he is killing so many people, but still we are not able to get that seriousness. So that is one thing. And another also, about the self-created duties. So I am more afraid of self-created devotional service, or maybe I don't know whether it can be called as devotional service, but self-created, imagined devotional service. No, devotional service means somebody should be pleased by that, by that seva. So, that is also a very important thing, that I pray that I don't get caught in that self-created seeming devotional service. So in that way, Krishna protects me that I only follow the instructions, what I've received, and only execute those things. So that is the perfection of my life.
Hare Krishna. So this is a nice point to meditate upon, that what I am getting attached to do every day. So to find out what is that attachment, while chanting we can understand it. So meditate upon it and removing it. And one more point, that a perfected pure devotee can see that this person is a so and so in spiritual world. So I have to deliver him. Who am I in the middle? So a preaching service means it is given by Prabhupada and Guru. That to please them we are doing preaching, not that I can deliver him. It is just my sadhana, that preaching. So by preaching I am getting purified. So it is just my purificatory process. So what my thing is to connect that person to a pure devotee who can deliver him. That is only point. And the last, this thing, Hari and Guru's Pada Seva is the weapon that controls the mind. So these points are very important to meditate upon. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. The point that we should try to remember, Eko Bahunam Yuvidhati Kaman, Krishna is everybody's savior and protector. And we should not try to imitate Krishna or do the job of Krishna. Rather, we should try to take shelter of Krishna. Otherwise, life will be wasted. That point really touched my heart. And another point which I liked was, right now I'm trying to exploit others. I have to learn how to do selfless service, selfless devotional service. So this journey from exploitation to selfless devotional service is a very, very difficult journey. It requires a change of heart. Of course, it requires self-endeavor, but it requires a lot of mercy also. So one has, at least I have to be in a begging mood day after day and keep hoping against hope that one day I'll be able to render selfless devotional service. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Praji, the point you mentioned that about helping and attachment. So nowadays we see most people are just attached, instead of helping others, most people are just attached to the action that they consider as their own duties. But we must understand that attachment is good, but it has to be directed towards in the right direction. And that attachment must be to Krishna. So that's one point that I was just... you mentioned the story of King Bharata, how the deer fell into the river. So yeah, he could have just helped the deer, but then instead he got attached to the deer and that led to his downfall. So he should have just, you know, had that attachment to the Lord and, you know, pray to the Lord that, you know, thank you for putting me in the situation where I was able to help the deer, but instead he got attached to the deer. So that's one point. And the other one is the one point you mentioned, the chanting time is only meant for the living entity and Krishna. That's a really important point that I should be meditating upon. Nobody else comes in between. It's just you and Krishna. Hare Krishna.
This point, Guru and Hari Pada Sevanam, that is the only best option. I like this point.
So this,
what is the point last you made?
So chanting time, only me and Krishna. So there is many definitions of Krishna, but we should not take them. So Krishna is, the service is non-different from Krishna. And you know, like, so many things are non-different from Krishna, but we should not think about our service, we should not think about our many things. So this is some, if we get to that point, then every time Krishna means everything, so then that is called Mayavad. So, devotional service means to understand that, yeah, Krishna is everything, but still Krishna is Krishna. So, so both the things are there. So then only we can actually perform devotional service. So this should not be extended saying that, okay, I can think of my service, I can think of, no, that is also non-different from Krishna. And this material world is also not different from Krishna. And Krishna told, like, no, I am the sun, I am the moon, I am the trees. So in that way, we should not think about all those things.
Thank you very much. Please pray for me. I'm getting some inner call saying, you have spoken too much today. Get ready for some test. So please pray that I just pass the test, whatever Krishna will put. Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki, jai.